Hey world, it's one of your hosts, Erin, and welcome to another episode of Exposed, the radio show where your hosts, me, Fiona, and Caitlin, discuss current events and expose them for what they really are with live interviews and real facts. So what's up with the Muslim camps going on in China?
Well, if you're looking forward to learning more about that, you're in for a great episode because we're going to be discussing the Chinese Uyghur Muslims, and we have managed to get three live interviewees here to discuss their real-life connection with the camps. First, let's go to Caitlin Lee, one of our show hosts. She is in Xinjiang right now. How's it going, Caitlin?
Hi, thank you, Fiona. We are currently in Xinjiang, China. This is the site for many of the Muslim internment camps, where Chinese Uyghur Muslims are reportedly being stripped of their religion and culture through indoctrination systems and constant surveillance.
So, Caitlin, tell them about what happened when we got here.
Yes, when our crew first arrived here, we were followed by police cars and our vehicles had been searched multiple times. There is a constant police presence here and an intense level of security. Back to you, Fiona.
Thank you, Caitlin. We're back with a live interview with Stan Pines, a journalist for the London Chronicles who's following the situation in China. Stan, tell me a little bit about the current events going on in Xinjiang.
Thank you for having me. From what I see, China is detaining Chinese Uyghur Muslims, a Muslim minority in western China's region of Xinjiang. This is being facilitated by Chen Chuanguo, the Communist Party chief in Xinjiang. It is China's largest region, bordered by India, Afghanistan, and Mongolia. In theory, it has a level of autonomy from Beijing, but it has been under Chinese control since 1949, facing major restrictions by the government. There are about 11 million Uyghurs in Xinjiang, most of them being Sunni Muslims. These people have a history here that stretches back thousands of years. For centuries, the region was a hub along the Silk Road.
So, what do you think the Chinese government is targeting the Uyghur Muslim population?
Well, the region is a critical component of China's infrastructure project, the Belt and Road Initiative. Many of the projects in Xinjiang are also on the Silk Road economic belt. It's clear that the Chinese government needs the region for development projects like railroads, pipelines, and shipping lanes. There have also been a number of Uyghur riots protesting discrimination against them in Xinjiang, which have killed hundreds of people. Here is a Vox news clip on China's motivations for the detention of Uyghurs.
Riots broke out, pitting ethnic Uyghur Muslims against the dominant Han Chinese.
One of the worst violence took place in the provincial capital of Urumqi. About 200 people were killed and hundreds injured during the unrest.
Is the Chinese government in any way trying to cover up their actions, Stan?
Yes, they label them as counterterrorism initiatives or vocational training centers to protect China from Islamic extremist groups and separatists and help Uyghurs escape poverty and the temptation of radical Islam. China claims that these centers provide classes on Chinese history, language, and culture with nutritious free meals.
So what are the people doing now to resolve this conflict?
On Friday, May 3rd, Uyghur Muslims in the U.S. gathered outside Washington to pressure the U.S. Treasury Department to impose sanctions and condemn China. They called for the use of the Global Magnitsky Act, allowing for the executive branch to use economic and travel restrictions to punish countries for human rights violations. In addition, in April, senators and representatives sent a bipartisan letter pressuring Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, and Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, to take action. Legislators also introduced bills to force the Trump administration to impose sanctions. Committees are currently reviewing the bills, and next month they can move to the larger bodies.
So, Stan, how do you think the conflict can be resolved?
I believe that the international community has a hand in determining the fate of the Uyghurs. The two groups have been at odds for many years. The best solution would be for governments to impose sanctions on China and for the UN to launch a formal investigation into the alleged human rights violations. However, the main setback is that countries fear economic retaliation if they were to stand up to China. For example, the U.S. has avoided using the $250 billion in economic leverage from Chinese goods to force China to reconsider its policies. There is also an economic treaty between the U.S. and China to lower trade barriers and open up their economies. So the Treasury Department fears that actions on this issue could impede the treaty's progress and jeopardize trade talks in Beijing. Pakistan, who has a strong relationship with China because of heavy infrastructure projects in the China India-Pakistan Economic Corridor is reluctant to join the international community in condemning Beijing's actions.
Thank you for joining us on the show today, Stan, and sharing your research on this important topic. Now we have Human Rights Watch senior researcher Justin Case here to talk about their involvement in this. So, what is your organization's actions thus far in this Uyghur-China situation?
Yes, so thank you for having me. The Human Rights Watch is currently trying to learn more about the conflict so we can correctly evaluate the situation. Of course, the holding of Muslims in camps waved many red flags at the UN and especially for us. We found out more about the IJOP, which collects information from Uyghur citizens in order to determine who to detain.
Oh, really? Can you tell us more about how this affects the citizens or the process of putting Muslims into the camps?
Yeah, so the IJOP is the Integrated Joint Operations Platform, China's mass surveillance system here in Xinjiang. It is a program that collects people's data and searches for potential threats. After some more research, Human Rights Watch believes that it is especially invasive and extremely harmful to the average citizen's rights to privacy. They find out minuscule details about people as simple as not using the front door or their practice of peaceful Muslim religious practices like donating to mosques.
So, how does this affect the Crisis or Human Rights Watch's involvement in this?
So, this is important information to know and our organization's goal for now, because we are trying to get in contact with the Chinese government to find out more information about the camps and their plans. In order to properly address this issue, we must find out more about how they're being operated and raise awareness about the actions and motives behind the Chinese movement.
So we noticed that you're also in affiliation with the UN. In what way have they interfered, or what do they plan to do about it?
So yes, we have talked to the UN about their involvement in this, and during a UN meeting, countries voiced their concern regarding the re-education camps, which were technically alleged, in August 2018. The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination also did a two-day review of China's record, which was the first since 2009.
So the UN has acknowledged it. What did this produce for the people?
A panel member named Nicholas Maragon said that they recommend China to end the alleged discrimination and to free the imprisoned Uyghurs if they're not legally detained. But again, it is very difficult to demand these things when all these events are alleged and cannot be proven because the Chinese have been so secretive. Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Li Yucheng claims that the allegations are, and I quote, politically driven accusations from a few countries that are fraught with biases, end quote, because accusations mainly come from the Western countries.
As for us, how do you think we'll be affected by this problem in China?
Well, I know that this can raise many economic repercussions depending on what actions we take. Possible U.S. sanctions can raise prices on many goods from China. Since nearly all our products are manufactured in China, there's no doubt that the Americans will feel the effects.
What can we as Americans do?
Well, for one thing, being informed with the current events and news is very important. Awareness is crucial. Being ignorant will only allow China to continue its human rights violations. So we suggest to follow the situation in Xinjiang and the current administration's actions to solve the problem. The next step people can take is perhaps take it upon themselves to understand it and make this issue a priority to not just the government, but amongst ourselves. Genuinely being invested in the well-being of our fellow humans and having empathy has a huge difference in this world. Although many think that they can't do much themselves, together we can make the government listen to us. After all, we are the people who elected them.
Thank you so much, Mr. Case. Now back to Aaron for another guest.
We have another interview with Lin Ray Sheen, a Uyghur Muslim that fled a vocational training center in China after several years of living in Xinjiang. She currently lives in Sacramento, California.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show. As a native to Xinjiang and a former detainee, I have witnessed how the government's crackdown on the Uyghurs ruined and stripped innocent civilians of their dignity, family, and freedom by fighting for their culture.
If we may ask, can you tell us about your experience in these re-education camps?
Of course. It was a terrible experience. We faced torture and a brutal daily regime of communist indoctrination. Every day, we were awoken before dawn and herded into the re-education camps, where we were forced to learn Mandarin Chinese, pledge loyalty to President Xi Jinping, and recite songs of illustrious Communist Party. Sometimes they beat us and hang us up for hours when we didn't behave. They confiscated our Qurans and forced us to renounce Islam, which was very difficult for me. We were also forced to do things that were forbidden in Islam, such as eat pork and drink alcohol.
So what about the children in these camps? Is the situation the same for them?
Well, some parents are forced into jail and their children were sent to orphanages. Orphan Uyghur children were stripped of their freedom and severely restricted. Innocent children experience deep physical and psychological trauma. I am very lucky that I was freed from jail after 4 months and able to escape from China.
So in what other ways have the Chinese government interfered with your life?
Well, I remember there was a constant police presence and surveillance against the people in Xinjiang. We couldn't go anywhere without the Chinese government watching our every move.
Oh, we just had Mr. Case, who's part of the Human Rights Watch, come onto the show and he mentioned the IJOP. Is that what you're talking about, the mass surveillance system in Xinjiang?
Yes, exactly. They put facial recognition cameras and QR codes on our homes. We were also forced to take regular biometric tests and give our DNA samples. All of this was extremely intrusive.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience on the show with us today. As you can see, the Uyghur population is gradually forced to assimilate into Chinese culture. State television broadcasts report Uyghurs learning Mandarin, sewing and woodworking for the Chinese factories, which hides the real violations that occur behind closed doors. So, Caitlin, what are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, not to offend anyone, but China seems so self-motivated. To them, Xinjiang is only good for oil, coal production, and trade routes. It seems that they don't care about the Uyghur lives. They're messing up.
I agree with you, Caitlin, but one has to understand that trade and manufacturing is a major part of China's economy. It's no wonder how much they are prioritizing this. I think it's fine how they are trying to keep Xinjiang for economic reasons, but I don't think it's okay that the Chinese government has to discriminate and crack down on the Uyghur population and also conceals their actions from the international community. It's very immoral and not right. There must be a way for these two groups to coexist peacefully or have a solution where both Uyghur rights are protected and the Chinese government can grow their economy.
Well, from also another neutral standpoint or way of seeing it, we do have to think about the Uyghurs' actions. There's talk about the Chinese using these re-education camps to prevent possible terrorism, but at the same time, putting thousands into camps may not be the solution.
In my opinion, being an international superpower means using its platform to influence or help those who cannot defend themselves. It seems to me that although China is powerful, it is not a superpower. Their actions are entirely self-motivated. All their alliances are solely formed for China's benefit, exploiting the smaller countries' resources.
I guess this also relates to how many countries who build up the rich and leave the poor struggling to survive are often looked down upon. For example, here in the U.S., there are major corporations who pay less taxes than poorer families. Therefore, these families are left struggling to survive while large corporations rake in large sums of money at the expense of the poor.
China also focuses on modernizing bigger cities like Hong Kong, Beijing, and Shanghai in the east, so people use these wealthier cities to define China's image. However, many people don't see China's hidden human rights violations in the poorer Western countries like Urumqi. I think that we need to remember this applies to everything in life, to question the government and fight for what you believe in. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Exposed.
We hope that listening to this has opened your eyes regarding this issue, and hopefully you can be more educated about this topic and these kinds of important issues in today's society.
Thank you again for this episode of
Exposed.